I'm glad you came back. I was kind of surprised you came back, but praise the Lord you did. Some of you didn't see last night, so I'm glad you're here tonight. I need you to bear with me for a few minutes. I got to get some things set up here. Brother, where'd my broom go? Brother sabotaging my message. Amen. I'm glad I got stuff stuffed under here that he don't know nothing about. But I do need that broom, praise God. I got a few things I got to get out and get up under here. And amen. I appreciate that. Asked me to come down to preach, and then he steals my plans. I need this set up. Now look, don't get scared. Don't get nervous. I know this is going to look like a scene out of a mob movie. But it's really not. Nobody's going to get... Well, you fellas, I don't know about it. Everything should be all right. Just try to cover up them steps. You fellas grab that there for us. And amen. Amen. The brother seen Gallagher, but he didn't sweet cool hand Luke. I don't know. Amen. But I got a few things that we got to do tonight in this message. And I got a whole chicken under there, brother. I've converted. I like fried chicken these days. Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Amen. I still don't like any of that other chicken, but I do like the fried chicken. Amen. I had a birthday. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18. I had a birthday just the other week. I appreciate you bearing with me. I know it's not real normal to be doing that in church house. I appreciate your preacher letting me do it. Amen. But I had a birthday a couple weeks ago, the end of March, and my wife said, what do you want for your birthday dinner? And I said, well, I don't know, honey. And she was going through this list, and she said, I tell you what, we're going to have us some finger-licking chicken. I said, well, I don't want chicken. We had chicken, and I liked it, so praise the Lord. So here's the deal, folks. I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm not, but I don't take myself too seriously. But I take this book seriously, and I take preaching seriously. But I'll be honest with you, I can't compete with your cell phone. I can't compete with your smartphone. I can't compete with your television. I can't compete with the internet. I mean, this church has problems, brother. I mean, they got their thermostat hooked up to that brother's cell phone. Something ain't right. We was down there in the fellowship hall down there, and they got the big box down there, and there's all these lights and things are going off. And my wife said, she said, what is that? And I said, I think that's some kind of server thing for, and she says, they need all that just to put their messages on YouTube. I said, baby, I don't know. There is stuff going on in this place. And then the preacher come down last night, and I said, brother, what is all that? And I said, man, that is wild. You got all that stuff in there? He said, you ought to see it in the church. It's even worse. You got problems in here, man. Amen. I didn't sleep a wink last night. I think Big Brother's trying to watch me or something. Amen. I'm already scared of black helicopters. Anyway, I can't compete with that stuff. Neither can your pastor. We can't compete with Facebook and Twitter and Tweeter and tweeting and all that. I'm against all that stuff, but I ain't going to preach against it. That's your preacher's job. But anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is, we can't compete with it. And then we get up on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and a Wednesday night, and you have revival meetings. And just like the preacher, the moment the meeting's over, you forget what was even preached. So my goal tonight, he didn't really forget, I'm just teasing him. My goal tonight is I'd like to make this message stick in your mind. And I'd like you to be able to remember it. And a year from now, you say, that crazy Yankee from Pennsylvania came down there and he was a nut, man. But I know what he preached, at least the second and the third night, because tomorrow night we'll do something different. So that's the idea here tonight. Don't get scared. Don't get nervous. Amen. I am from Brogue, Pennsylvania. They call it the Brogue. It's called the Brogue. I don't know why, but that's what they call it. We're about 45 minutes south of Hershey, Pennsylvania, where the chocolate's made. We're right on the Maryland line. We're about an hour north of Baltimore. Y'all ever want to come visit us, come on up. We'll take you out in the Chesapeake Bay, and we'll go crabbing for some crabs. and have a good time. So anyway, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. Jeremiah 18, 1.
Amen.
The Bible says in Jeremiah 18, 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Yeah. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, and another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll try to preach for a little while about this potter's house and this pottery he's making here. Brother, you mind praying for us tonight?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, for your blessings of life. Father, I thank you for letting us gather here tonight. I pray you be with the man of God as he preaches tonight.
Yeah, amen.
I pray you give him remembrance of the things that he's studied.
Sure.
And I pray that you remove all distractions from us tonight, that we may concentrate on what is being preached. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So in the Bible, according to the Word of God, you and I, all mankind, we are likened to a piece of pottery, a piece of clay that's fashioned into some sort of vessel, one sort or another. Whether you're a cup, a saucer, whatever the case may be. And then in that verse there, you find out that the Lord God, he is likened unto the potter. He's the one that's creating that vessel. Amen. Look while we're back here, look at Isaiah chapter 64. You can get another verse back there about pottery and things. And I know there's a fellow that goes around and he's got a potter, a spinning wheel, and he'll get up there and he'll preach while he's making some kind of vessel there on the potter's wheel and all that kind of thing. I'm not that talented. So we'll do something different tonight. Look at Isaiah 64. Look at verse 8, if you would. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, the Bible says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Amen. The Bible says that God creates everyone. He creates you, me, everybody in between. That's who he created. But man, I got to tell you, that verse to me is a hard thing to reconcile in my mind.
Yeah.
You say, what are you talking about? Think about it. I went to school with a little girl in the fifth or sixth grade. She was a nice little girl. Her arm ended right about where your elbow is. And out of the end of that elbow came out five little fingers. Little nubs that were useless. Isn't that a hard thing to reconcile with? God made that. Amen. God made that. With all the diseases and all the deformities and all the problems that mankind has in this world, and you got to reconcile the fact that God made them that way because he wanted them that way for a purpose, and it was his plan, and man, he made them just the way he wanted them. But man, that's a hard thing for me to wrap my little finite mind around. Amen. It's a hard thing. I've seen little babies be born and have cancer. I've seen different problems and disabilities, and you know, then you always get somebody real spiritual in church, or I'll show you. Look at Romans chapter 8. You always get somebody real spiritual in church, and they'll go to Romans chapter 8. And this kind of thing irritates me.
Yeah.
This is one of my least favorite verses in the Bible. That one in that verse that says, they shall be turned into the flames of hell. I hate that one too. I don't like that verse. I don't like this one. Somebody will say, well, preacher, you don't understand. God made them that way. And we know that all things, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, yeah, that makes it so much better. You go tell that to the one that was born with legs that don't work. You go tell that to the one that was born in a chair and can't ever get out of the thing. You go tell that to the one that can't speak, that can't hear. You go tell that to the one that's got all kind of problems that you and I know nothing about. not me. You want to see my favorite verse, folks? Let me show you my favorite verse. Some of you folks get up and you say, you know, you got your life verse and all that kind of thing. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Everybody's got a life verse, and, you know, I love the people. They stand up. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Oh, you can you? Go underwater and hold your breath for 10 minutes. Well, I can't do that. Well, why not? You just said you can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you. You see, the problem is you took that verse out of context and you're not dealing with the things that he's talking about. Amen.
Right.
You can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. Well, good. Climb up on the roof and jump off.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can't do all things through Christ. That verse is talking about suffering. That verse is talking about dealing with some of the suffering and some of the trials and tribulations that you got to deal with in this life. You can take anything out of context and make it say whatever you want it to say. I'll show you my favorite verse. Somebody gets all spiritual with me, and they say, well, what's your favorite verse, preacher? I say, it's 1 Timothy 4:8. Bodily exercise profits little. You say, what are you talking about? That's one of my favorite verses, man. You say, what do you mean? Bodily exercise profiteth little. I got the body to prove it. Amen. Some of these spiritual people, man, they kind of get on my nerves a little bit. Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. I'm sorry I don't have my jacket on tonight. I asked the preacher if I could take it off. I'll be honest with you, I am hot. I'm kind of burning up here a little bit. We were down there today in the fellowship hall, and we found the ping pong table. And Miss Darlene said we could play ping pong, so we set that thing up. Me and my wife was playing ping pong, and, man, I want to give you some advice. Don't play ping pong with your wife. Look at Romans chapter 16. We put it away. We didn't want it to lead to a divorce. Amen. Hey, a child that is born, hey, he is born. He's born, so I understand that he's got sinful blood in him, but he's born, and nothing's held against him until he reaches the age of accountability. Man, when a baby is born, he is a new vessel. He is shiny. He is clean. She is clean, whatever the case may be, just like this plate right here. Just like that, man. I mean, smooth, silky smooth. I mean, you can even go up to a baby and you know, after they're out for a while and the baby's been born a couple days, and it's just nice to hold them in your arms. And I mean, smell them. They smell brand new, like brand new car smell, man. But I'm talking about a baby when they're born. You say, what is that? It's innocence. You look in my little girl's eyes, and you look in some of these little ones' eyes, and that little girl played the piano. Man, she did a job. That was awesome. I believe that they could teach Brother Joe to play, man. They teach a little girl to play like that. But, man, you look into them little kids' eyes, and you look into the windows of their soul.
Yes, sir.
And, man, all you see is innocence in that.
Amen.
Like a brand new dish. Look at Isaiah 29. You don't get to choose how you're born, man. Isaiah 29, some people are born rich, some people are born poor. Some people are born black, some people are born white. Some people are born in a third world country. Some people are born in America and ain't even thankful for it, by the way. I'll give that as a freebie. Some people are born where they got no food. Some people are born where they got food. You don't get to decide. Some people are born with physical impairments and physical needs, and some people are born with all kind of issues, man. But you don't get to decide any of that.
Amen. Right.
God decides for you.
Sure.
It's by the grace of God that you were born. You folks that were born in an area where you got a preacher and you got a pastor, or if you moved here and you got a Bible-believing work that you can go to. I just had a man at my church the other week. His family got up and sang, and in his area, they ain't got any Bible-believers in his area. He ain't got no Bible-believing church that he can go to. They go to a King James church, but they ain't like us.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
Hey, that's an awful thing, but look how fortunate you are. You got all these preachers within, what, 2 hours of you?
Amen.
You come up to my town where I live, and I'll be honest with you, our church is the really only rightly dividing dispensational preaching church that there is within an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You can't go on every corner.
Right.
Say, what are you talking about? You don't get to decide those things is what I'm trying to say. You don't get to decide any of it. Look at Isaiah chapter 29. Look at verse 16. The Bible says in Isaiah 29:16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about pottery. I'm talking about God Almighty, the potter, making the clay, and he does exactly with it as he wants to do with it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Think about all the people that you know that can't do things that you can do.
Yeah.
Amen. Your pastor here, him and his wife and his daughter, I've seen them, man. They are naturally gifted on the piano, on the guitar, with their voices.
Yeah.
Me and my family, we got to work to do anything. I mean, we got to practice and practice and practice and practice. And they're kind of natural at it, like, and they sound good. You say, what is that? God gave them a gift. Right. Yeah. What gift did he give you?
Yeah.
Some of you are good at talking to people.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Some of you are. Some of you have already talked to me coming in here, and you're talking and talking. It comes easy to you.
Yeah. Right.
It don't come easy to everybody.
Right.
How did God make you? Look at Romans chapter 9. I'll give you another one. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 in your Bible. I'm talking about the potter. Talking about the pottery, the vessel, the vessel. Look over there at look at Romans. Romans chapter 9. My wife told me last night, she said, you got to quit repeating yourself like that. And I said, what do you mean? And I just did it. So I'm chuckling, amen. Romans chapter 9, look at verse 20. Romans 9, verse 20. The Bible says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. You don't get to decide. Can I give you something, friend? You don't get to decide whether you were born or created a cat or a human being. Amen. We got that junk going on in our schools. I heard you got it in South Carolina. We got it up north of us. Kids coming in thinking they're cats and dogs and everything else, dressing up like... You don't get to decide that. If you're born... Hey, I'll give you another one, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings if one of you lean that way. I mean, but I'm not trying to hurt you, but it's the truth. You don't get to decide if you're born a boy or a girl. It's just the way it is. If you don't understand, meet me after church, and I will explain plumbing to you.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to say, amen.
Right.
You don't get to decide these things.
Right.
Well, anyway, a child under the age of accountability, nothing is held against him. Look over there at Amos chapter 3. I'm talking about pottery. Amos chapter 3, back there before the book of Jonah, you got the book of Amos. Amos chapter 3. You say, wow, preacher, how'd you get there so quick? I got the page number written down, that's how. Amen. I'm ugly, but I ain't stupid. Amen. Amos chapter 3 is where we're going to go. You get past that age of innocence, and then things start going against you.
Amen.
Amen. Then, you know what happens? You got that brand new piece of pottery, brand new plate. I bought this down at the Dollar General store for a dollar. Probably the only thing in there that cost... I'm going to do what you think I'm going to do. Probably the only thing in there that costs a dollar, but it's made in China, so it won't hold up too good. But you got this brand new pottery. It's all smooth. It's all clean. I mean, it can be used. We could take this right now, and we could put some fried chicken on it, and you could eat off of it just fine. It wouldn't bother you nary a bit. But what happens is, that's like a little baby when they're born. Then they get older. And they get older. And their parents park them in front of the television set. And then they get a little older, and their parents park them in front of the smartphone or the tablet or whatever the case may be. Who cleans this church? I'm sorry. And then they get older, and they get older, and the sin just keeps coming in and chipping away and chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. You say, what's happening? Sin, buddy. Sin happens. Now, you look at some of these older ones in here, and you look into their eyes, and it's totally different than looking in some of the little ones' eyes. You say, what's happened? Hey, sin's been introduced. That's what happened. And when sin's introduced, it just keeps busting up that piece of pottery and breaking it up and breaking it up and breaking it up. Now look what you got.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You know what you got? You got a bunch of broken pieces.
Yeah.
That's what sin, and that's what this old wicked world will do to some of them little innocent boys and girls. The problems you got, folks, the problems I got, the reason we got them is because of that stinking sin, which is this hammer. That old devil comes in and he just keeps chipping it away at it, chipping away at it. And by the time it's done, man, it ain't good for nothing but the trash heap of history. And that's where you would be. If you're here tonight and you're born again, you'd be in the trash heap, good for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I ride around Fayetteville today, and yesterday afternoon we rode around Fayetteville, and we were looking at different things and finding different things. And as we rode around, you know what I see? I see a bunch of people in that condition, man, busted up in nothing but pieces. I go around, I guarantee it, I go around Lincoln County tomorrow, and I'll find, see, I knew it was going to happen. I go around Lincoln County tomorrow, and I promise you I'll find just like I find in York County, Pennsylvania, but nothing but people broken in pieces. Their bodies are broke. Their minds are broke. Hey, everything's broke. Just like that piece of pottery. Isn't that sad? I told you last night, I was telling you, oh, seriously, we're going to go to that extreme? Holy man, I cut myself worse than that shaving my legs. Amen, that's a little better. Thank you, amen. Folks, that was a joke. I don't shave my legs. I'm serious. You don't understand. You don't understand. We get back down there, my wife's going to say, I can't believe you said that. You say, what are you talking about? Broken pieces, buddy. There ain't nothing left but just pieces. Look at Amos chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Amos chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out of that dwelling Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. You say, what is it? There ain't nothing left of that little lamb but pieces. And that's how people are. Everywhere I go, I've been all across this great country, man. My wife and I and my oldest daughter, we used to live out in Phoenix, Arizona. We lived out there for several years. I've been to Arizona. I've been to New Mexico. I've been to Texas. I've been to Alabama. I've been to Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Delaware, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania. Hey, Ohio. I've been everywhere across this country. And you know what I see? Nothing but people that are broken. And there ain't nothing left of them anymore but pieces. Yes, their minds are scrambled.
Yes, sir.
Their families are scrambled.
Yes, sir.
Their marriages are scrambled.
Yes, sir.
Their children are messed up because they're being raised by internet and cell phones and fake books. They're in pieces.
Yes, sir.
I was out street preaching last fall. I believe it was last fall. Look at Psalms 31. Psalms 31, me and a boy from the church, not a boy, a man from the church, Brother Dennis, we was out there preaching, spot that we go on a Saturday, and I was standing there, and we weren't even preaching. We were just holding our signs. It was too cold to preach, and man, we were all bundled up, and we were just holding our signs, and a fellow went by, and he went by in a pickup truck, and he rolled down the passenger side of his truck as he was driving before he got to me because he saw us, and he managed to drive and hang his head out the window, a little Ford Ranger, hang his head out the window, and he went by going, the whole way down the road. You say, what's wrong with that man? His mind's mixed up.
Amen.
Amen. He's got scrambled eggs up there. That Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that he gives them over to a reprobate mind. You say, why is that? Hey, he's been looking at things he ought not been looking at. He's been hearing things he ought not been hearing. His mind's messed up. It's gone. You say, why? Why? What is it? He's in pieces. Friend, I'm not preaching against your internet, and I'm not preaching against your television. I'm not preaching against any of that, but I'm telling you, you better watch that junk, especially with your little kids. You better know what they're on, amen? You better know what they're watching. You better know what they're looking at. Look at Psalms 31. Look at verse 12. The trash heap of history is where they're good for after that, according to the world. He says in verse 12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. You go into the major cities all around this country and you'll find a bunch of broken people, homeless people, troubled people, and nobody cares about them anymore. Let me ask you something, you folks that are born again. If you ain't going to care about them, who will?
Amen.
Who will if you won't?
Amen. Come on, preacher.
You say, what are you talking about? You got the answers. You got the solution. Nobody else does. Pieces, just nothing but pieces. You know, look over there at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Nothing but pieces. Just like that plate there. Luke chapter 4. Now you know what happens, folks? Jesus Christ comes along. And Jesus Christ comes along and he takes just like his broom. And And he starts sweeping up them pieces, and he's gathering them up, and he's gathering them up. He's going to see what he can do with them. Picks up all them pieces. Going to see what he can do with all these busted up pieces. Amen. That brother's blessed, and he gave me another piece. He takes all them pieces, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he lays them all out.
Amen.
He starts laying them down.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And he says, what can I do with all these pieces?
Amen.
I got saved in Sunday school in the second grade. My Sunday school preacher preached about Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. And he preached that if you didn't accept him as your personal Savior, you'd die and go to a devil's hell where there was a flaming fire, a literal fire, where you would burn for all of eternity. I didn't get saved because I knew all the doctrine of that Bible. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I was saved from that time. I'm still saved. I've always been saved. But I did good from that time. I led my first person to Christ when I was 13 years old. When I hit 16, it all went to pot. And you know what happened, folks? Even though I was saved, man, I got busted up into pieces once again. I went out into the world. I disobeyed parents. I got interested in the opposite sex. I did everything I ought not have done. I got interested into alcohol and drugs and everything else, man. You say, what happened? I turned back into pieces. And it's by the grace of God that I met my wife, and it's by the grace of God I got saved, and Lord gathered up all them pieces, and man, I got back into church. I didn't get back in church because I wanted to go to church. I got back in church because my wife said, we ought to go to church. And I said, okay. And we went to a little Baptist church called Ebenezer Baptist Church, and the pastor was Mark Fillmore. And Brother Mark Fillmore was a street preacher, and he was a hard preacher, man. I mean, he would preach. And we left there on that first Sunday that we visited, and I said, I ain't ever going back there. That guy is nuts.
Come on. Yeah.
You said, what are you talking about, pieces?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Right.
Then God started dealing with me, and I got right.
Yeah.
Then my wife got saved not too long later. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You say, what are you talking about, pieces? You know what I found about broken pieces? I know somebody that can put them back together.
Yeah.
He takes them pieces, man, and he starts lining them back up and putting them back in order.
Right.
And, man, he can actually take all them pieces and put them right back in.
Amen.
You say, what are you talking about? He took all them pieces and he just put them back together.
Right.
You say, but, preacher, it ain't a new shiny penny no more, man. It's got some breaks in it. It's got some chips in it. It's got some cracks in it.
Yeah.
It ain't good no more.
Amen.
He said it was good.
Amen.
Hey, man, he can put all them pieces back together, brother.
Amen.
He can put them all back together, sister, and he can make it so it's usable. Don't get me wrong. It's got some nicks out of it. It's even got some holes in it, man, but it's good for something.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All the pieces.
Yes, sir.
How about it tonight?
That's good. Amen, sir.
That's me, man. That's Jason Lee Keenan. That's probably some of you. You could insert your name there.
Right.
Just busted up pieces that the world said, you ain't good for nothing. You ain't good for nothing no more. We're just going to throw you away. We ain't got no more use for you. And God takes all them pieces. Hey, you could still put fried chicken on here and eat it. You might not want to put gravy on it, but you could eat it. You could do something with it. Just busted up pieces. You know God's looking for some pieces that he can put back together. Look at Luke 4. Look at verse 18. Luke 4:18. The Bible says in Luke 4:18, verse 18, you know the verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You say, what are you talking about? God Almighty is looking for brokenhearted people. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I told you last night I use a lot of scripture. You say, why is that? I want the scriptures to convince you. I don't want to convince you. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Look at verse 17. He's looking for some pieces that he can put back together. Mark chapter 2, look at verse 17. This is an odd verse, man. This verse is totally opposite of what this world thinks. Mark 2:17, the Bible says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Now look what he says. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Isn't that odd? The world thinks, hey, man, I'll just be good. I'll just live right. I'll do good. I'll stay away from certain things. I'll have some standards. I'll have some convictions. And, man, I'll be good. You know, up in our area, we got the Amish, the old order Amish. Our area is just, they're everywhere. They're all around us. Matter of fact, some of you people probably come up there on vacation to see the Amish. Can I let you in on something? You're weird. You know what you're looking at when you see an older Amish? He's riding around in a horse and buggy, and it's 100 degrees outside, and man, he's sweating like a hog, and he's covered up, and he's, I mean, just covered up in that mess. You know what you're looking at? You ain't looking at nothing but a Catholic with standards. Yeah. That's all he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the matter? Some of you related to some Amish or what? They think they're going to get to heaven based on their good works. You know, the Amish have no converts whatsoever. They don't have converts. You say, why is that? Because they don't spread anything. They don't spread their gospel. They don't spread their belief. They don't try to get nobody in. Look at, are you in Mark chapter 2? Mark chapter 2, verse 17. You read that one. You know what the Lord does when he gathers up all them pieces and he puts them back together? Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 in your Bible. He gathers up all them pieces and he puts them back together. What he does is he starts to heal you. He starts to fix your mind. He starts to fix your way of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't look at things no more. You don't look at people no more. That fellow went by barking like a dog, arr, the whole way down the road. You say, how did you look at him? I looked at him and I said, that poor soul going to die and go to hell.
Yeah.
He's probably lost and he mocked the street preacher and he don't care about what the Word of God says. Isn't that a shame?
Yes, sir.
I look at people and I see souls, and I see souls that are busted up and messed up, and they need to be put back together again, and I know the one that can do it, and he's the only one that can do it.
Amen.
Donald Trump can't put nobody back together. Neither can Joe Biden. Your government can't help you. They'll make it worse. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says in verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. What are you talking about? He heals. He puts things back together. He makes them whole again. You say, why? So they have a purpose. So they have a use. So they can do something. I'm not saying you'll get everything back. Folks, you go ahead. You live like a dog, man.
Yeah.
You do things you ought not to, man. You might lose that little wife of yours. And you ain't going to get her back, even if you do get right. But, man, you could get your testimony back. You could get your fellowship back with God Almighty. Huh? You may not get them kids back. But, man, you could get God back.
Sure. Yeah.
How about it tonight? You know what God does? He makes them whole. He makes them whole. He heals them. Not only that, but look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Look down there in verse 46. You know what else the Lord does when he puts them pieces back there together? He recovers your sight. We had a lady in our church. She got saved. She got born again when she started going to our church. And she told me, she said, after she got saved, she went out somewhere that weekend or whatever. She went to the grocery store and had to walk down the sidewalk. And she saw, you know, some of these freaky-haired people that you see sometimes with, you know, looks like they fell into a tackle box and they got stuff all over them. And I ain't picking on them. They don't know no better. They need God, man. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to get saved. But they still a mess, you know. And she seen some of that. She came to church and she said, preacher. And I said, what is it? And she said, nothing looks the same no more.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean nothing looks the same? She said, since I got saved the other night, she says, I go out into the world, man. And she said, nothing looks the same.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean, sister? And she said, it didn't used to bother me.
Right.
Does it bother you?
That's good. Amen.
Does it bother you, folks?
That's good.
Folks, does it bother you that people you know are broken and they're lost and they're headed to hell? Does that bother you? It ought to bother us. Recover sight. Not only that, but look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 in your Bible. Not only that, but when you get Christ, you get Jesus Christ, you get born again, he puts you back together again. You may not be whole, but at least you're useful again. You're usable again. John chapter 8. But he also delivers you from bondage. You realize, dear friend, all them people that you see that are broken, they're in bondage. They're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to the devil. And there ain't nothing they can do about it until they accept Christ.
Amen.
He delivers you from bondage when he puts you back together again. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 32. The Bible says in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Thank God for that. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." This old world, these people that are lost, they're slaves to sin. And they don't even know it. They think they're doing right. Them old order Amish folk I was telling you about up there in Pennsylvania where I live, they think they're doing good. And they don't even realize they're lost and headed to hell. Isn't that a horrible thing? He takes the pieces and he puts them back together again. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 in your Bible. Matthew 11, look at verse 28. He puts the pieces back together again. And you know what the good thing is? He even calls the people. He says, "Hey, you want to get fixed? Here I am."
Yes, sir.
You want to be made whole?
Yeah.
Here I am. Look what he tells them. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, look at verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes,
he says, "Hey, man, I'll take anybody. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you look like, what problem you have.
Right.
You come. Come unto me."
Yes.
You say, "Preacher, you mean tell me the Lord would save Joe Biden?" Yeah, sure he'd save Joe Biden. He may not save Kamala Harris, but he'd save Joe Biden, amen. I'm kidding, I shouldn't have said that. He'd save her too, amen. We had a boy, look at John chapter 12. He's not a boy, I keep calling him a boy, he's a man. But John chapter 12, Sunday, he had to leave for Arkansas for his work, for some training. And I told him, I said, "Man, I hope them Clintons don't get you." Amen. Born again, the born again. Christ is looking for broken people, man. But you know what he needs? He needs to be lifted up.
Sure.
Look over there at John. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Look at verse 32. John 12, 32. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me."
Amen.
Somebody's got to lift him up.
Right.
That's where we come in.
Yeah.
Look at 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 in your Bible. We'll close with one more verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Somebody's got to lift him up. Do you lift him up?
Amen.
You say, "Well, preacher, you know, I don't know how it is down here, but up where I live, we got a lot of these preachers, and they say, well, you know, if I just live a good life, and if I'm just kind to people, and if I'm just, you know, try to be holy, and if I just live right, and they'll see me, and they'll come, and they'll ask me, why are you so happy all the time?"
Yeah.
No, they won't.
Right.
They don't care why you're happy all the time. They probably think you're on mind-altering medication. That's why you're happy all the time. There's no telling why they think you're happy all the time. But they're not going to come ask you why you're so happy all the time.
Right.
At some point, dear friend, you're going to have to open your mouth.
Right.
And you're going to have to tell them. You're going to have to tell them.
Sure. Yeah.
You're going to have to tell them. Look over there at John chapter 12. I mean, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look down there at verse 15. Bible says in verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now look at verse 16. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering." Look. "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting."
Amen.
You know what you and I are supposed to be as born-again Christians? We're supposed to be a pattern to this lost and dying world. People are supposed to look at us and be able to see, yeah, they should see something different about you. I agree with that, but at some point you're going to have to open your mouth. I get picked on a lot of times about street preaching. I don't believe you should do that. Why not? I believe what you need to do is you need to create relationships with people. You got to create relationships with people. Look, man, I ain't got time to make a relationship with all the souls in York County, Pennsylvania. You ain't got time to start a relationship with everybody in Lincoln County, Tennessee. You ain't got time for that. I don't think it works. You know how my wife got saved? Let me tell you how my wife got saved. When she was 13 years old, she was walking down the street of Red Line, going up to the pharmacy. Thank you. See that? She'll let me struggle that whole time. She's walking up to the pharmacy with her and a friend of hers at 13 years old to get a slushy, amen. And my pastor, who we didn't even know at the time, we were just kids, she walked by my pastor on a street holding a sign that said, "You must be born again." And he said, "Hey, little girls, can I give you something?" And he gave them a gospel track. And they took them tracks and they walked on. At 32 years old, that girl ended up at Ebenezer Baptist Church where the same pastor preached. And at 32 years old, on Mother's Day of that year, he preached a message and she went to an altar and got saved. Oh, it don't work. It don't work, preacher. You don't know what you're talking about. Anytime you can lift up Jesus Christ, it works. It works. How about it? Are you lifting him up? Folks, there's broken people all over this area, all over this community. Somebody's got to lift up Christ. If it ain't going to be you, if it ain't going to be me in my area, then who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Heads are bowed. We'll have an invitation. I'll ask the preacher to come. I don't want to mess things up here, but look, if you do come, try to stay off this plastic. There is some broken pieces there. So, preacher.